Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Congresswoman Dina Titus for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program Congresswoman Dina Titus.
Dina, with the election of Connor Lamb in the Pennsylvania district, he was not a fan of Nancy Pelosi. And I was wondering, what is the future of Nancy Pelosi as the Democratic caucus leader in the U.S. House?
Well, you know, people are always complaining. Everybody wants to move up. But she's got a solid hold on leadership position in the House now. People say they're going to support her or not, depending on what their districts look like. And that was what Connor Lamb thought was appropriate in his district. If we take the majority, and it looks like we're going to, she will have a strong base out of California. A lot of women will be elected. She will have raised a lot of money. So I think we can wait and see, but I wouldn't bet against her.
Well, you've mentioned you think you're going to take the majority in the House this year.
Well, I do. I think the numbers are going our way. We need 26, is it, to take the majority, and the generic poll, the latest one that was just in the last few days, showed us up by 10%. So I don't see this president improving any between now and then, and there's a lot of backlash against his policy or lack thereof. So I think there's a good chance the Democrats will take the majority in the House.
Well, if you take the majority in the House, what are the odds that you'll bring impeachment proceedings against Trump?
Oh, I don't know. There's been a resolution to at least study it now, which I supported. That's not the same as a resolution to impeach. I don't know. You don't want to play into his hands and start talking about you're going to impeach him and get people all riled up. I think you have to wait and see what plays out. I'm waiting to see the Mueller investigation results and see just what is there before you start talking about moving forward.
And speaking of leadership, Dina, you know, where are you going to end up in the next session? You certainly got plenty of seniority.
Well, that's true. I've been moving up very fast, and I've just become the ranking member on a subcommittee of infrastructure and transportation that deals with economic development, which is very important to Nevada. In fact, we had our first hearing today, so looks like I'll move into chairmanship, at least, of that subcommittee. So that's pretty exciting.
To say the least. It was interesting. John Ensminger from the Southern Nevada Water Authority was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking that in the 50-year plan, they're anticipating 3.5 million people in the Las Vegas Valley. When you were in the Senate, you were talking about a ring around the valley. what do you think you know, happens now? How do we go forward?
Well, you'd be surprised how many people remember that ring around the valley. It was a growth boundary. It said, let's grow in instead of growing out. So let's have higher density, fill in empty spaces rather than urban sprawl. Yeah, we're about 2 million now. You go to 3.5 million. That's a big increase. But I hope what's happened is that we have learned from the past. So we'll have better planning where you have consideration of air quality, transportation, land use all together, so we don't make some of the mistakes that we made before. And we do it in a smart way. We don't just do growth for growth's sake, because that's what caused, I believe, the big housing crash before and the artificial bubble of housing values.
Robert Lang was on the program last week from the Brookings Institute, and he was talking about, in addition to the Maryland Parkway light rail, that what's most important next is to build some kind of light rail system or rail system from the airport to the Raiders Stadium. What do you think about that?
Well, I've been briefed by RTC about the plans for light rail down Maryland Parkway or something like light rail. And that's the main corridor that bisects the valley, and that's right in the heart of District 1, and I think that's a great idea. We certainly need to do something to accommodate all the folks who are going to go see those Raiders games, and light rail may be the way to go. The problem we have is paying for it, and at the federal level, you know, Trump keeps talking about a big infrastructure package and $3 trillion. Well, that's all smoke and mirrors. They want to pay for that with tolls and with bonding and not with real investment. And at the same time, he's also cutting the programs that serve mass transit. So if we're going to get some federal money for it, we've got to take a hard look at the proposal or kind of vague suggestions that are coming out of the White House.
Dina, in District 4, some people were kind of waiting to see if Reuben Kiewen was going to announce that he was not going to, you know, if he was going to run for re-election. There was a little bit of a drama there. Of course, he didn't file for re-election. What do you think about him not filing for re-election? And what do you think about this? It looks like it could be a Horsford versus Pat Spearman Democratic primary in District 4. What do you think about those two subjects?
Well, I think for his own future, Reuben made the right decision. You know, that would have been very hard to come back from that, and all of that would have come out, maybe even more would have come out in a campaign. Mm. So I think he decided the right thing to do. There are a lot of good candidates in that 4th District. Besides Stephen, you know, you've got the Regent, Allison Stevens. You got the Senator, Pat Spearman. You've got the activist, Amy, who is involved in the Medicare for All plan. So that's going to be an interesting primary to watch.
It looks like Susie Lee is starting to wrap up all of the blessings from the Democratic leadership.
Yes, I think Susie's a great candidate. I think she'll win that seat. She, instead of having to fight out a primary, she's the darling of the party this time, and she's working hard.
And why do you think she's the best candidate?
Well, she hadn't got a primary opponent that I know of.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, in terms of her, you know, she's pretty unknown to most of the people across the state, apart from her run 2 years ago. So what we know about her is from the advertising, but I'm taking it that you know her a lot better than we do.
Well, I tried to recruit her to run for the state Senate many, many years ago when she worked for Jan Jones when Jan was mayor. And she's been involved in a number of public programs, some of the after-school all-stars with education. So in the South, she's more of an activist. In that community, they're in the suburbs, more affluent part of the district. She fits that well.
All right, let's take a break. More with Dina Titus when we come back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congresswoman Dina Titus.
Dina, we were speaking in the last segment about the District 3 congressional race. And, of course, on the Republican side, we've had quite a, quite an event, I guess, that Danny Tarkanian is pulling his U.S. Senate campaign away, and now he's going to run for the District 3 congressional race like he did 2 years ago after Trump tweeted his encouragement for him to drop out of the Senate race and run for Congress instead. What do you think about all this Trump tweet and the Tarkanian shift?
Well, I think it's smart on the Republicans' part because instead of having now a tough primary for the Senate race, Heller kind of has a free ride and Tarkanian steps back into a seat that he came within a half a point of winning before. So I think that was a good move. It makes it tougher on the Democrats in both of those districts.
Okay. Well, you know, how do you see, Danny Tarkanian lost that District 3 race last time by, it was 1.2 percentage points. You know that district. You used to represent that district, Dina. What do you think about a Susie Lee, Danny Tarkanian smackdown in the general election?
Well, I think Susie Lee will win, but I think it'll be a real race because I do know that district, and Danny did so well last time, and I think that because he stepped out of the Senate race, they must have promised him the moon, so he'll have all the resources that he needs.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting. The Democratic machine is already well underway with people asking for rates already, going all the way through the election cycle. Do you think that the Democratic machine in Nevada is going to be as formidable with Senator Reid no longer in the Senate as it was before?
Well, we all miss Senator Reid, but yes, yeah, they're right. The groundwork was laid over the course of the last decade, and so they're gearing up. People are coming out. They're doing voter registration drives. People are already knocking doors. Labor is really energized, so I think the Democrats are going to deliver. And also the issues are going our way. People care about gun violence. They care about immigration. They care about tax breaks just for the wealthy. So I think it's a combination of good infrastructure, good candidates, and good issues.
Dina, I want to get back to the possibility of the Democrats taking the U.S. House majority. Your old District 3 nemesis, Joe Heck, he said on Newsmakers just the other day that he doubted that if the Democrats take the majority that they would begin impeachment proceedings against Trump because it would have because the conviction in the Senate would, you know, the chances of that would be astronomical against impeachment. Do you agree with Joe Heck that there's no way that Trump would, that in the Senate would get impeached or convicted of the impeachment?
Well, I don't much care what Joe Heck says. I hadn't seen him since the last election. I wondered what had happened to him. But, you know, you're speaking as a political scientist. You're right. You need a majority to impeach, which is like an indictment, and then you need two-thirds to remove from office. You saw that with Bill Clinton. I don't think that they're going to have two-thirds Democrats on the Senate side, but don't forget now, they impeached and removed Richard Nixon, so it really depends on what the evidence shows. And if Mueller comes back with evidence of collusion, it's going to be very hard-pressed for some of those Republicans not to put country ahead of party.
What did you think about the removal of Rex Tillerson and bringing in Mike Pompeo to be Secretary of State?
Well, I sit on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and I'm no big fan of Rex Tillerson because he came in and tried to wipe out the State Department. They had a 30% reduction in the budget. They didn't fill a lot of vacancies. He tried to run it like Exxon Mobil, I guess. But Pompeo is much more strident, much more right-wing, much more of a warmonger than Tillerson was. But aside from that, just the fact that there is so much turmoil in the dire diplomacy is what's the big problem. We've got the president now flip-flopping from saying, don't waste your time with little Rocket Man, to saying, oh, sure, I'll go meet with him personally. We haven't heard back from North Korea about that. We have no ambassador to South Korea. We have no secretary of state. We don't have the person who was the expert on North Korea who just retired last month. You know, these are serious stakes. You don't just go over there and hang with the head of North Korea. You've not got to know what you're doing, and we just don't have that expertise now in the State Department to back that kind of negotiation up.
And we're going to take a break. More with Dana Titus when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congresswoman Dana Titus. I got to get your thoughts on the whole Steve Wynn affair.
Well, you know, it's Las Vegas is a tough place for women, whether it's gaming, top gaming circles. Very few women have broken in there. I think of Claudine Williams and Jan Jones. People who serve as cocktail waitresses, they get, I'm sure, harassed not only by customers, but they're encouraged to be friendly, to get the good shifts, to get the good tips. It's just a hard world. And dancers, I hear it all the time. But you don't expect somebody who's like the face of gaming in Nevada to have been that egregious in their behavior. So I'm glad he's gone, and I don't know what is next. Will there be other people in the industry that you'll hear about? Will this kind of have this kind of cleaned house? What's the Gaming Control Board going to do? I know they were advancing a policy on this. Is the state legislature going to take further action? It really has set off a whole kind of revolution of events.
And you've known Steve Wynn for years. I mean, were you personally shocked about his behavior?
I've always kind of heard rumors, but never of that kind of harassment or anything. I would say I was shocked. I would be shocked by that kind of behavior from anybody, frankly, but yeah.
Let's talk about a couple of issues on the Strip, because that's part of your district.
You must have been
thrilled when the Fountain Blue was purchased. It's been renamed the Drew. It's going to be a JW Marriott. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, that's very exciting. That's right in the kind of the heart of the Strip. If that is finished, then that will help the north end of the Strip develop, because it's a kind of a skeleton sitting there now. So that was very good news, and I'm excited not only about that, but then right next door, that will help the SLS as it now redevelops and kind of rebrands itself.
Were you surprised that the Culinary went after Alex Morello, who's the owner of, or will be the owner of SLS? He's currently the owner of the Grand Sierra in Reno.
Well, I know he's done a good job with the Grand Sierra in Reno, and I think he has some plans for SLS. I'm hoping that he and Culinary can work it out, because I always like to see our hotels be unionized. I think people get better service, and people who work there get better benefits and jobs.
And then the last thing in this trio is Golden Gaming purchasing the Stratosphere and other associated properties. It looks like they are going to do some phenomenal things with the Stratosphere.
Yeah, that's an exciting property, you know, with all the things happening on the tip top of it, and right there kind of where the city of Las Vegas meets the county. I think there's a lot of potential, and if the local governments will work with them to kind of clean up the surrounding area, I think it'll make a big difference. It'll be a nice additional property there on the Strip. That's one of the things I say about Las Vegas. You know, if it's happening in the state, it's very likely in District 1. And despite being so hard hit by the recession with unemployment and housing values and bankruptcies, I think we're coming back.
Dina, you mentioned that, if I heard you correctly, that you're glad that Steve Wynn is gone after his indiscretions. But wasn't he a real visionary for the development of Las Vegas, and especially Las Vegas gaming? With his departure, will there be a major hole or crater that needs to be filled in going forward in the future with Las Vegas gaming and tourism?
Well, he certainly was a pioneer, and when he built the Bellagio, that kind of changed the tone on the Strip from old-time gaming to modern, luxurious resorts. But that has taken hold, so it's much bigger than just one individual now. And you've heard the new management of Wynn say they're going to continue with that development that goes behind the Wynn to Paradise. That's all in the District too. So some of that was laid out earlier will still be completed. So I don't think it's going to make a big difference at this point.
Okay. What about, do you anticipate that the U.S. Supreme Court could soon deliver an opinion that could impact Internet gaming?
Well, we are watching that very carefully. There was a possibility the decision could come down today. The next point where the Supreme Court would be is potentially tomorrow. Depending on if they rule narrowly about just New Jersey or if they make a broad ruling, will this put it back to the states? Do we need federal legislation to kind of standardize things? I'm working with Frank Pallone from New Jersey and also a number of members of the industry there at home to say, let's do this right. We don't want to make it worse, but a regulated market's always better than an unregulated one.
Okay. You know, now Jackie Rosen, she's going to be taking on Dean Heller in the U.S. Senate race. And, you know, I can't help to think that, you know, that could have been you in that race against Dean Heller. We spoke about that on this show a few times. Do you regret, Dina, not running for U.S. Senate? Because you said it yourself, it might be the last window of opportunity you have in your career to run for the U.S. Senate.
Once I made that decision, I didn't look back. You know, I'm looking ahead to our possibly taking the majority, chairing this new subcommittee, all the exciting things that are happening in District 1. You know, anywhere I go in the world, I say I represent Las Vegas. Everybody knows where that is. Everybody wants to go there. Everybody's got a story. I wouldn't trade that.
And one day it could be Speaker Titus.
You never know.
You never know. And that's where we got to leave it. Thank you very much, as always, Congresswoman. Pleasure to have you on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you on the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, it's an all-pundit show, Talk, Talk, Talk. We'll see you on the next broadcast.